I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White & Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. Alex, Matt, discussing whatever we can call that game. What would you call that game last night?
A massive disappointment, a letdown, a failure at every aspect of coaching a football game.
Shit show?
No, because we only lost by four. So it wasn't a shit show. It was just sad more than anything, honestly.
Yeah, it's annoying, especially when you have to get up early. We're up at 1 a.m. in the morning.
Watching, yeah, I didn't. For the Thanksgiving game, I got a nap in. In this one, I just didn't. I'm in the process of packing up my house. Today's been painful in more way than one. And I'm trying to. I think I'm in one of the stages of, like, you know, what is it? The five stages of depression or something like that. The
five stages of grief.
Yeah. You know, it's like maybe I'm in like the bargaining stage where I'm just like, it's just a game. They play it once a week and then you go out and live your life the rest of the days. It's not that important, you know. But God, with the amount of time and money that we all put into being fans and for them to do that at home on Monday night against the Patriots, Mac Jones only attempts two passes.
Oh, three passes. He connects with two.
Yeah. I don't blame Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer for being pissed off in the post-game press conference. A, Jerry Sullivan sucks. He just sucks. He's just out there trying to get you with questions like that. You know, he wants sound bites. He doesn't want legitimate answers, because how do you expect someone who just did everything they possibly could, held a team to 14 points, and your offense in the fourth quarter has two long drives and gets no points, 1-for-4 in the red zone, bad coaching decisions, that challenge, attempting the field goals, not having Isaiah McKenzie in there to give a semblance of creativity to this run game, but instead going with Zach Moss, just running it straight up the gut. Like, I know I don't want to rant. I want to calm down. I want to analyze this game properly, but it's like when you see what New England did on the ground game and what the Colts did to us, there's creativity, there's smart there. There's a coach who understands how to get yards on the run game. Daboll last year, we survived by going up early and forcing other teams to throw against what we have is one of the best pass defenses in the NFL. This year, the offense just isn't clicking for whatever reason. People have been talking about, did McDermott sink his teeth in and be like, hey, we need to run the ball more? You know, did he get us away from last year's successes? It's tough to know who to blame. And I think it's a lot of people for why last night happened. The worst part about it is that we had every opportunity to win this game, but we didn't because we were stupid.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going back to the previous show. I think I gave keys to the game. The main one, or the second one, was we need to get off to a fast start. I mean, when you make them go three and out in their first series, and then you pretty much do the same, and you've gone three and out, then you give them a turnover, and we just start going 8-0 down, struggling again. This is where the explosiveness, the urgency really needs to do to actually try and get away, try to move the Patriots out of their game plan, because we know that regardless of who's the quarterback, they've always had decent running backs that they always would like to pound the ball. If we could have actually built up that lead, we may have seen the Patriots move away from
the
run game.
There were many times when we did stop them. We absolutely bent very far and hard, but they didn't break. One bad play, because we kept, you know, run blitzing, which I found would be very frustrating, because the Patriots, they get their guys to the second level. So it's smart to keep people back there just in case.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I know they had 217 yards on the ground, but for the most part, it worked, because we only allowed them to score one touchdown.
Yeah, I think the one thing
that... You can't blame the defense on this game.
I'm not going to say it's a blemish, it's something I'm going to be mad at. It's more of a worry a little bit, especially after that big run, the fact that they kept putting pretty much everyone in the box and having just like Hyde or Poyer as the only deep safety on there. That's the only thing that scared me out of it. But obviously, they knew what they're doing. I mean, it took them to halfway through the fourth quarter to change it up a bit when Milano started coming in on those on those tackles for a loss. And really, if that adjustment was made maybe in the second quarter after Harris went for that 67-yard touchdown, maybe the result would have been a lot better.
You know, there's nothing the defense could have done differently, honestly. I mean, for the game plan that the Patriots had, our defense did absolutely enough. I mean, like I said, 14 points. My issue comes from the decision-making on the offensive side of the football. And it goes from, you know, play calling to scheming, to choosing personnel, to signing the right players. It goes all the way to the top. It's, you know, like I said earlier, why not McKenzie? You know, give me some jet sweeps. Show me something different to maybe open up the middle of the field, which is where we only wanted to run. I mean, we don't have the personnel to run smart zone blocking run play schemes here. And honestly, I don't know what personnel we have to at all run the ball effectively in any, you know, playbook for any, you know, running. How do you neglect this aspect of the game so glaringly?
This is
my biggest issue. My number one issue with the team this year is that last year we were really good and really lucky, and now we're not lucky. And it's not like Allen's gotten worse. It's that what's happened to Cole Beasley? Why doesn't Allen trust him on certain plays anymore? What happened to the Emmanuel Sanders that we saw in the first 5 weeks of the season? Why hasn't Gabriel Davis been on the field more? I understand with the broken hand, it's freezing. So I'm going to give Dawson Knox a little bit of an excuse on his drops, but absolutely not on his false start in the fourth quarter in the red zone.
Yeah.
We are a one-dimensional team on both sides of the ball. We're built to throw and stop the pass. And I understand why we did that, because the analytics, all of the charts, all of the graphs show that trends in the NFL lean towards wins by passing and stopping the pass. Because other teams, that's what the NFL is. It's a passing league now. So I understand why we built the team that we did, but you need to understand that there are other teams in the league who don't have a Josh Allen, and they're going to build a team around the run game. And for us to just not have that addressed is an issue. I mean, you stop the other team's success on offense by controlling the A, line of scrimmage, and B, time of possession. And you do that by running the football effectively on offense. I mean, last little bit here about this is that everyone talks about Buffalo weather. Just because these guys play in Buffalo doesn't mean that they're winter warriors. They spend how many days of the year in this cold? You know, half the time they're away games, and the other time, you know, they're practicing indoors. The 90s Bills were built for this because they built the roster around the run game, and then Kelly Tareed was all because of Thurman Thomas. The offensive line that we have, the running backs that we have, the Dable, his play coaching style is not built for Buffalo weather. So when these games happen, and they're rare still, but when these games happen, our deficiencies are absolutely on display. And I imagine that, I mean, we saw it last year against Indianapolis, against the Ravens in January in Buffalo. We didn't look that hot. We did just enough. And last night we could have done just enough, but just little things, we beat ourselves, and it keeps happening over and over again. How many times in a postseason, in a postgame press conference, can you say, oh, we have to learn from it? Where's the learning?
Exactly. I mean, the one thing I'm gonna put out there. I mean, obviously, I reread it quite a bit on there, and it kind of raises a question. It kind of raises a little bit on what Sean McDermott actually said in his press conference. That is this offense broken? He's saying a struggle to fix it at this time of the this time of season. Is the ball going backwards from the last couple of years? Do we put it on him, especially when there's seems like a difference of opinion? He wants to go mainly with the 4 or 5 wide receivers, the 2 tight ends. McDermott wants to run it, but you look in the fact that our red zone, we had 4 attempts in the red zone, scored only once, which was the first quarter. We didn't really get back into it until like the third quarter, fourth quarter.
Both drives in the fourth quarter were fantastic.
Yeah, and then when you got into the red zone for that, what was it? So it was 1st and 10 from the Patriots 20. Moss runs for 3. 2nd and 7, Allen pass was tipped. 3rd and 7, fell incomplete. And obviously Tyler Bass actually managed to put through the field goal. Then
it was on that play. On that drive, you know, it's the offensive line getting blown up on that huge sack. 2nd and 6, very manageable. Josh didn't have an opportunity to even think before he was getting pressured. So it's just in big moments, someone always screws up, and it's so frustrating to see. But I mean, obviously you don't go for it on 4th and 15. Obviously. Yeah, so I'm not upset about that field goal.
Yeah. So the next one where obviously it was Bass actually missing the 33-yard field goal. Once they got the penalty on Moss to actually take it down to the 6-yard line, it was a run for no gain and sack for a 9-yard loss. Then Allen's pass, the timing was off, it was incomplete. They went backwards to kick a field goal. And then on the last red zone, you've got 1st and 10 at their 14, Singletary 1 yard. 2nd and 9 at 13, put Allen's pass behind Stephon Diggs. 3rd and 9,
the win put that one.
Obviously, false start on Dawson Knox.
Forgive them for that.
3rd and 4. Yeah. 3rd and 14, Allen rolled away through to the end zone, is broken up by good coverage. I have to give the Patriots safety or corner, wherever he is, a little bit of credit on that.
Yeah, it was a broken play too. I mean, Allen was scrambling like crazy, but I mean, we just cannot gloss over that false start on Dawson Knox. Absolutely can't. I mean, I know that 3rd and 9, it's not easy, but it's clearly 2-down territory. You can win the game on this drive. You don't need to get all 9. If Dawson Knox doesn't take that field, that false start, I mean, I can envision it. I see it. I see Allen scrambling for like 5 or 6, 4th and manageable. Super easy. And then we get a whole new set of downs. But the penalty, just, it's just.
One thing does it, that the last one, the 4th and 14, when they actually, the pass to Davis, way short, and all that. You see on the replays, there were a couple of open guys. I think it was the same on the 3rd down. There were a couple of open guys. So, did was it a case that Allen was just scrambling, had too many pinches in the face, he couldn't really go through his progressions, or was he just trying to play like another hero game and just throwing that ball?
You put your quarterback in a 4th and 14 situation, whatever decision he makes, you can't blame him. You're giving, he has a 0%, okay, clearly not 0, but the odds are so highly stacked against him to make that, to make 14 yards on 4th down. Was it an ugly pass? Absolutely. Did I watch the replay? Absolutely not. I went right to sleep in anger.
Looking at it, I mean, there were times where on those two plays himself that Diggs was actually free. I think Knox was a little bit open, that he even just fed the ball through, especially on the 3rd and 14. You take it down, then you're gonna have 4th down and manageable to get it. But I just go back to the fact that the way that we can't run this defense, this offense, we can't run the ball. Our O-line seems to implode when it wants to and not actually be strong enough. I mean, go back to 2018. We had a decent running game in there when we did what Patriots were pretty much doing, which was the pin and plug type run. We did that in 2018 and had good success from it. Somehow, we've just seemed to go away from it and go more power.
Yeah, no, it's really uninspired. There's nothing that they've shown in the run game on a consistency basis. We've seen good runs here or there. You know, Singletary had a good run. Breed has had some in the past. Moss hasn't all year, I think. And if he has, it was in the first 3 or 4 weeks. But, like, honestly, I shake my damn head when I see Moss in the game. I understand the weather. Here's the philosophy question. It's that in pregame warmups, obviously Allen's out there testing it. What does he relay to Daboll and McDermott? I mean, obviously as a player, you know, I mean, there's no comparison, but when I've played sports, I don't say I can't do anything, right? You know, do you ever tell your coaches you can't do something?
No.
Yeah, players always say, I can do it. If McDermott took the ball out of Allen's hands and said, hey, Daboll, we need to run the ball this game. If that's what they were saying when the weather reports came in a few days ago, you know what? I really want to question what McDermott is doing to this team. With all the talk about why McKenzie was sat down, he says, I need someone back there I can trust. Holy shit. You don't say that to one of your players.
Yeah.
I mean, what did Micah Hyde? Did he fair catch maybe 1 or 2? I mean, Breida fumbles. He's got him and Singletary have worse mitts than McKenzie does. And McKenzie adds more to this offense than those guys do. It's just, I think that where McDermott is really struggling with all of the pressure around what we were supposed to be this year. And he's second guessing himself. He's doubting. He's changing things probably at the last minute. You know, you do it in fantasy where all week you got one guy in your lineup, then on Sunday you change him, then you change it back, then you change it again. and that's the guy who gets 5 points while the guy on your bench gets 20. I really imagine, and I'm not going to say he is, but I imagine this is what McDermott's doing. I think he's losing his mind. I think if he had hair, he would have been losing it all year, all season.
So we put this on McDermott want to change our identity, or we put it on Dable, who actually obviously being in charge of actually making this identity, but can't call the right plays. Because I say the people going on online blowing this out of proportion, saying that they need to fire Dable, that McDermott, even Leslie Frazier should be on the hot seat as well as Dable for this season. And are we overreacting on that?
There is an overreaction to some of it. The fire Leslie Frazier is a bad idea. In the Colts blowout loss, the offense continually let down the defense. They couldn't sustain drives. They couldn't score points to make Indianapolis more balanced. We were shorthanded with Star and Trey. So we didn't have the right personnel to stop the run. And Jonathan Taylor's just one hell of a running back. Here, again, I understand there's 200 yards against your defense on the ground, but we stopped them when it mattered. We gave our offense every opportunity, and the offense let us down. And to your question, you know, is it McDermott or is it Dable? I wish I could find out. You know, like, maybe we need to get Perino on here or Joe Biscaglia again and ask him that question. Like, who's responsible for manipulating what this offense has done well? Is it coaching or are players just not stepping up? Because as I said before, I don't blame Diggs for that drop because the wind clearly moved it. But Knox, Beasley, Sanders, Breida, Singletary, Moss, all let the team down on Monday night.
So it means this offseason is going to be a fun offseason. And I know you don't like talking about it, but
it's time. It's time. I truly believe it's time. Let me ask you, before, where's your confidence level at? Are we going to make the playoffs?
I think, what was I previously? Something like that.
I didn't hear any of that.
I think I was like 90%, I think I was.
Previously. Where are you now?
No, previously.
Okay, yeah.
I think, that's what I was trying to think. I'm trying to think back and remember. I'm thinking now you've got to put ourselves at like 60%, 70%.
I believe, and statistically, it's at 83. But where is your confidence level at in this team being able to, you know, Tampa Bay and New England are our two hardest games coming up. Then it's Carolina, the Jets, and the Falcons. So there's, I want to say, three guaranteed wins in there, but you want to beat one of Tampa Bay and New England, right? So do we make the playoffs, A, and B, what even happens if we make it in? I know it's just get in, anything can happen, but if we get in, and let's say we get the second last or last seed, that's either a beat up Tennessee or a Kansas City. Can we even win one playoff game, which would be on the road?
It depends on who we play. If we played the Chiefs, I would say no. Without Trey White, I don't think we can.
Yeah.
The Titans, if it's the Titans, I probably think we could possibly win that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the Colts end up winning that division anyway, and the Titans might be right next to us in the wild card, honestly. So, you know, if we play the Colts in the playoffs, there goes that.
Yeah. I think it's going to be hard. I think I'm like a 60-70% because the next two games are crucial ones. We don't get at least one win out of those two games. So if we go 1-1, I'll be happy with it.
Yeah.
If we go 2-0, I'll be delighted. If we go 0-2, then I think you're kissing the playoffs goodbye.
All right. Well, you say you'll be happy with 1-1. Does that mean you'd rather, wouldn't you rather beat the Patriots though? So two losses in a row. We lose to Tampa Bay. That's really going to suck. You kind of want to go – obviously you want to win both of them. But to not be too disappointed with 1-1 in the next two games, I'd rather have it be against New England.
Yeah, obviously you don't – the tiebreakers are going to come when it comes to the standing of the end, come to your AFC.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the NFC because each division play a different NFC team.
Yeah. But then if we lose to Tampa Bay – That's two bad losses in a row. We're all giving up then, right?
Then it's different. But I'd rather take the win. If we go 1-1, I take the win against the Patriots. Do what we can against the Bucks, because I think the Bucks is going to be the hardest game. We know what Brady's like. We know they've got Gronk and him. Gronk's come back banging. You've got no Antonio Brown. You've still got Mike Evans, Goodwin.
Leonard Fournette's playing unbelievable.
Yeah, and you've got no Trey White. So you're going to have Wallace and Jackson against Godwin and Evans. You've got a D-line that struggled to actually keep Damian Harris and even Stevenson quiet. Didn't keep Jonathan Taylor quiet, didn't keep Derrick Henry quiet, and Fournette is better than Harris and Stevenson, but obviously nearly on the same level, just about a couple of rungs lower than Taylor and Henry. If we can't stop them.
Didn't the conversation be about what the offense can do? I mean, I know that it's Tampa Bay's potent offense, but our biggest concern is what our offense is capable of, not our defense, right?
Yeah, but the fact is that we saw it with the Patriots. They kept running the ball. They kept possession a lot more, made our defense weaker, which then meant our offense would actually, if they had to go 3-and-out, put more pressure on that defense. So, in essence, yeah, you want to look at your offense and can we get the ball moving? Can we actually get a gameplay that actually at least gives our defense a bit of a rest? But if we can't, and the Bucs do have a really good defense, don't get me wrong, they can
stop the run, but they've had a lot of injuries in the secondary.
Ran them close, or didn't run close in the championship game last year. That is going to be more of a blowout than we actually think, especially with the way they control that offense.
Well, Tampa Bay's secondary is where they're the weakest. They've had a lot of injuries there. They play the run really well. So that kind of feeds into our strength. Obviously, Tampa Bay is going to set us up to, you know, they're going to force us to run the ball probably. But hell, if it's nice weather, you know, I trust Josh Allen. I just don't trust our offensive coordinator, and outside of Diggs and Gabe Davis, who just isn't being used properly, I don't think I trust anybody else on this offense. So I understand what you're saying, it's not a must win against Tampa Bay, but it sure as shit feels like it.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing we got to worry about, yes, their weakness is the secondary, but that D-line of the front seven of the Bucks more or less makes up for it. And the more pressure they can get on this O-line, and we've seen how it's not worked a couple of times. We've been overwhelmed, especially down the middle. And you got, Devin White, Levante David?
Well, we don't need to do a preview. We'll do that later.
Yeah, I know.
But, it's inherent in us, though, to try and get rid of the bad taste in our mouths of this Patriots game and talk about the next game. But let's save that for later in the week. So right now, obviously, we're not feeling great, but like you said, it's absolutely time to start talking about what we can do in the off season. And I hate to answer. I hate to say that. I hate to agree to that.
Yeah.
Because it defeats where I've been all year, which is trust them. Everything will be fine. And very clearly, not everything is fine.
Yeah. I think it's something that, I mean, in a couple of weeks, if it does go down very badly, then I think it is a case of looking at what we can do next year. And I mean, before we disappear, I want to go through some of the comments and the opinions some of the followers actually gave us. I mean, just go back on the media reaction when I posted up after the game. We had Chad Southam on Twitter saying, "We can only hope the Pats slip up as well as beating them on their turf in better conditions. They've got a tough schedule compared to us. We've only got the Bucks and the Patriots. The others are really easy at the moment. But it's almost like it's been taken out of our own hands. Our run game is shocking, that we should start abandoning the run and actually go into passing and carry on with passing."
You know,
go ahead.
I'm finding myself at just like a loss for words because I'm reviewing some comments too. And it's just, we're all fighting with each other now too, you know, and it's just getting ugly, you know?
Yeah. Mark Robbins on Twitter puts it pretty much sums up. Can't stop the run. Can't run themselves unless Josh Allen does it. Going defensive end, tackle in the draft. Was looking long-term, not the 2021 season. Has actually come back to bite us. The O-line needs a rebuild. DT looks a big need. And obviously getting a replacement for Star as he's getting on. And I full-heartedly agree on that. I mean, don't get me wrong, as I say, I keep saying it. I didn't like the Russo pick at 30, but you had other needs in there, but doubling up just to win one game, potentially two games that season, or you know, this season, really did set us back a little bit and give us more and more holes that we need to fill.
Yeah, it's just there was just too much of a focus on stopping the pass. And it's not seeing the bigger picture, but also when you bring back the majority, like 95% of your roster from the previous year where you made the AFC championship game, you really don't feel like you have any holes to fill. So they took the one that was the most glaring and addressed it. And that's pass rush. It just didn't work out. They didn't expect the O-line to be this bad. Daryl Williams wasn't supposed to be this bad. Cody Ford wasn't supposed to be this bad. Feliciano wasn't supposed to get injured or be as bad as he was. You know, there wasn't supposed to be a massive regression in Cole Beasley's game. But, you know, the stuff that I'm reading on here, I mean, Chris Holden on Facebook says, "Let's reserve judgment until the end of the season." And that was kind of what I had been preaching all year. But where we are now in the season with 5 games left, I think it's really time to, I think we're absolutely allowed to give constructive criticism on our team. And like someone, like a reply from on here says, you know, people long to complain and pretend they know better than the professionals. Like, have you never criticized someone before? Like, everybody has criticisms, you know. We obviously aren't NFL coaches. We don't know better, but we can identify when something doesn't work and we're absolutely allowed to criticize them for it. You know, no need to bring that in a Facebook group and start trying to, you know, stir the pot.
Yeah, I think uh, it, It's a hard one. It's a hard one for sure. I mean, you don't want to see like just carrying on over and over again, saying yes, we're rubbish. This is not working. We need to sort it out, Chris, like everyone else. And you just want to be positive, saying, "Oh, okay, yeah, they did. We may have done that, but look on the bright side. There's got to be balance on there." And this is where a healthy debate really comes in, because let's say I don't normally always agree with your opinions. You don't always agree with my opinions.
True.
But we respect each other's opinion quite a bit. That allows us to do that.
Yeah. You know, and again, all of the comments that I'm seeing that are defending the Bills, I'm just a week too late on them. It's just, you know, Brian Rooney says to be disappointed at 7-5 just shows how far we've come in the last few years. And that's absolutely right. We expected better. And that comes with joys and sorrows. It's with expectations. If you meet them, elation, you know, but when there's a falter, which is what's happening now, you know, you need to accept it though, because he then goes on to say, you know, we can beat any team on any given day. We haven't,
that's
though.
True.
But we haven't. Like,
it's true.
The
it's
loss to the Jaguars.
It's true. We can. Loss. But yeah.
I mean, yeah. Okay. We can because we have. We did it last year. It's the same roster. But for whatever reason, we keep shooting ourselves in the foot. And that's the frustration. I truly believe in this roster. Because when we do what we do best, we win football games. And for whatever reason, whoever's getting in our way, if guys have just had a step back physically, it's just 7-5 is not the worst. I mean, we would love that, you know, any year between 2000 and 2018, we would love that. But in a year where a lot of us were only
with like this,
three games, this is unacceptable.
Bucks were 7-5 last year. This is about the same point. Look what happened.
Do you see us turning it around? Let's make this the final question. Do you see us turning it around?
Not as well as the Bucks did last year. I think there is still too many, I wouldn't say glaring holes. There's too many.
Because remember, they had extra days to game plan for this matchup. And 1-for-4 in the red zone with extra days of game planning, not acceptable.
So I think the last, let's say it is a case we're going into almost like previewing the offseason, what needs to be happening. I think if it comes to that in the next couple of weeks, then you know.
Yeah, if there's two more,
there is definitely
then we're doing an offseason show.
Yeah.
Before the season even ends.
Yeah. And we won't have a meetup for a playoff game to say goodbye to you.
Yeah.
To link one up.
Yeah. I very much would love one more get together on happier terms.
Yeah. So is there anything else you want to add before we wrap this up?
No, I imagine this has been close to an hour now, and I need to go shake this off. I was finally calmed down, and then we decided to do this. So I need to go and calm back down again.
So on that note, we'll say keep following us, liking us, subscribe, share, hit the follow button, hit anything you can to follow us on Twitter at @RWBB_podcast, @UK_Bills, @BuffaloBillsUK on Facebook and YouTube, @UK_Bills on Instagram. Keep helping us build this the fan base. We'll be back for the next episode when we preview the Bucks game. And for Alex, this is Matt saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening. Enjoy. And let's go, Buffalo Bills.
Go, Bills.
Not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
Huh? That's who we are.
Those on three. One, two, three.